A magical carriage departs from the castle.
Impossible. Impossible. Impossible.
I remember like it was yesterday. Parker. To be the first woman of color to play her.
Cinderella can be whoever you want her to be because it's a fairy tale and that's the beauty.
For Whitney Houston to be my fairy godmother.
You got a problem with that?
She's gospel fairy godmother, honey. As black as you could possibly be.
A spell is cast.
The prince is giving a ball.
I had people tell me that it wouldn't work, that we were crazy.
At the time was an extraordinary idea.
Scenes from the movie play.
Suddenly you have a black woman as a queen, a white man as the king, and an Asian man as the prince.
Christopher Rupert, Windermere Vladimir, Carl Alexander, Francois Reginald, Lancelot Herman, Gregory James.
What?
In our gut, we were like, this could be really special.
If you can dream it, you can be it.
Which was saying to young people that were watching, this could be you.
The cast appears before a starry sky. Title, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, The Reunion. A storybook opens, revealing a black Cinderella. Tinkerbell conjures fireworks in the sky. Another time, young girls are dressed in princess dresses.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you.
Todrick Hall, singer and dancer.
Cinderella, can you believe it's been 25 years since we shot this thing?
He plays with dolls.
Girl, 25 years and I'm still wearing this same dress. Still got it. Anything change though? Woo! My feet hurt. Ain't that the truth?
When I was a little girl, Cinderella to me, what I saw was a little blonde girl. You know, she'd be in a garden with butterflies and bluebirds. I mean, that was me.
The image that I had in my head of Cinderella was Disney's original animated version.
It was a girl in a blue, big poofy blue dress with blonde hair.
Her personality was just very bright, very bubbly. I mean, she sang with a bird.
A dream is a wish your heart makes.
Billy Porter, actor.
Cinderella is an underdog. Cinderella has lost her father. And her stepmother is very mean and keeps her in the basement.
She was a dreamer, and no matter how she was treated, she still found her kindness and found her center. That inspired me as a little girl.
If you had asked me before I saw this specific Cinderella what a princess was, I would have immediately thought blonde hair, blue eyes. Never would I have thought she was a black girl with a raspy, sultry tone to her voice with braids.
There are no hard and fast rules for fairy tales, except one. Believe in magic.
My favorite princess is Moana.
My favorite princess is Elsa.
My favorite princess is Aurora.
My favorite princess is Cinderella.
Because my grandmother's favorite color is blue.
Tiana is my favorite princess.
Because, like, I don't really see that many black princesses around. She's more diverse.
So,
Brandy,
my dreams when I was a young girl was to be a singer, have my own band, and meet Whitney Houston. That was it. I had no idea that my destiny would take me to a role, Cinderella, be the first woman of color to play her, and then for Whitney Houston to be my fairy godmother? You gotta be kidding me.
I came on board as Whitney's producing partner. Whitney loved Cinderella. It was one of the things she was most proud of in her career. She totally understood the value, the importance, the significance of having a black Cinderella.
I think people are so fascinated with Cinderella, and the reason why it's so timeless is because it is about someone coming from a place of struggle.
Brandy at that moment was singularly special. She was 17. She had it big successful television series in Moesha. And she also had put out her first album, so she had it all.
Whitney called me and she said,
I got this project. Deborah and I have this project, and we want you to do this movie called Cinderella. We want you to play Cinderella. And I said, I thought you were gonna be Cinderella. She's like,
I'm 33 now. I'm not quite feeling like Cinderella.
No, honey, I'm not gonna be Cinderella. I want you to be Cinderella. And I started screaming. I ran around the house.
It's a real-life fairy tale for me, as myself, and for the character. It's like a parallel. Like, I'm Cinderella, but I'm also, my dream is also coming true as Cinderella's dreams are coming true. It's all happening at the same time.
This is a very, very historical moment, though.
For me. I'm
no,
standing
baby,
next to you.
I'm the fairy godmother, and that's kind of cool.
Isn't that cool?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you're the perfect Cinderella, and I'm your fairy godmother.
I had seen Julie Andrews perform as Cinderella, Leslie Ann Warren perform, but I was a huge fan of Brandy, and I was like, this is going to be a version of Cinderella that people will probably never forget. And turns out, I was right.
A scene plays.
In my own little corner, in my own little chair, I can be whatever I want to be.
Bernadette Peters.
When she sang in my own little corner, just about this girl who's lonely and just fantasizes in her own little corner, that's her place in life where she feels safe. She brought an innocence that's really beautiful.
In my own little corner is what's known in the theater as the I Want song. And almost every musical has that, where the main character, you get to know what do they want.
In my own little corner.
Brandy portrays Cinderella sitting in a dark cottage. She clasps her hands under her chin.
I wish I could go to the ball.
White women appear in pop culture.
When I grew up, I didn't see people who looked like me on the screen, big or little. And you don't feel included. Well, how much does society value me? The standard of beauty was different. Like, you know, I remember growing up, it was blondes have more fun.
I did not think I was beautiful. And
Brandy looks away.
People reminded me that I wasn't beautiful. You know, that confirming what I thought of myself.
All these things that are subtle, but around you all the time, they make you question who you are and how far you can go and what you can be and what you can do.
But there's something higher that can dream bigger for you. I thought I was ugly, and then I turned out to be the first Black princess. That's pretty mind-blowing.
The casting of this was one of the hardest things I have ever done.
The cast is shown.
We made the decision that we were going to do not colorblind casting, but diverse casting.
There was no specific, we want a Black king or a white. It was, you know, whatever came together, however casting works.
So the idea of having Cinderella be a young Black girl at the time was an extraordinary idea. But then suddenly you have a Black woman as a queen, a white man as the king, and an Asian man as the prince. And at first glance, you go, what?
Honestly, it didn't really occur to me until I realized, oh, this is very diversified. And then afterwards, I thought, oh, this is really special.
You know, periodically, we're sitting and watching things happen, and, you know, you whisper to the person next to you, can you believe this?
Cinderella was never done that way before. Which was saying to young people that were watching, this could be you. There's a place for everybody, there's a chance for everybody. It's a story for every little boy and girl of every color.
What did you say your name was?
A scene is shot on set.
Cinderella.
People didn't want me to do this project, and I felt like this is the project that I am going to do no matter what.
It's just a fantastic, bold, brave, wonderful, progressive idea.
A man plays a piano in a studio.
Impossible for a plain yellow pumpkin to become a golden carriage. Impossible.
Impossible.
For a plain country pumpkin.
You see, how would I sing impossible?
Brandy rubs her neck.
Impossible. That would be like the, is like R&B. You were not doing that in the movie. I did something completely different, just kept it straight.
Brandy was an R&B singer. Gospel was in her roots as well. So this kind of singing was new to her. But you know what? She embraced it like a champ.
Honestly, my ultimate favorite moment was never in the movie. It's in the studio with Whitney.
This is Cinderella.
Do you guys know that this is Cinderella?
When I first released my album, her name was like in all of my interviews.
She was standing next to me.
Nothing beats that. Nothing beats that moment.
Their chemistry was just off the charts. I think Brandy admired her so much, and Whitney was so loving to her, and what could be more perfect than that, than having your fairy godmother be someone that loves you and you look up to?
She was a very sweet and innocent child.
And go all the way back from the mic, and I'll come forward.
Who just really needs encouragement to get to the next step.
I just wanted to do it right.
Paul Bogave.
Brandy has a lighter voice. And she's, you know, this young girl, and she has this kind of husky breathiness that's very appealing and worked great with In My Own Little Corner and Impossible.
It's possible.
And Whitney had that strong, you know, really clear, impossible, but real clear belt. I love the mixture of the two voices.
It's possible. Whitney sings into a mic.
But the world is full of zanies and fools who don't believe in sensible rules and won't believe what sensible people say. And because these daft and dewy-eyed dopes keep building up impossible hopes, impossible things are happening.
Gospel fairy godmother, honey. She sang the shit out of that. Impossible. You know, and Brandy was like Black Princess. And just because of the quality of her voice, it's a completely different story.
Brandy watches the studio footage.
Impossible. 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 Impossible.
I remember like it was yesterday. And I'm nervous, but I'm not nervous because I feel so, I can be myself around her. And then she feels like she could be herself around me. And so this like magic is happening. And I'm like, oh my God, she really sings like this.
Impossible. This is the note. Impossible.
Why are you down there?
Because I can't sing as high as you, girl.
The cast are filmed in their costumes on set. Brandy slaps a slate.
Camera mark.
Playback. A camera is wielded backward during a shot.
The feeling of this whole project is magical.
Once Whitney and Brandy became involved with it, it seemed like we had to change how we were going to present the musical.
She's a Black woman. It's sassy and like, okay, this is a Black show now, Hetty. And there ain't no turning back.
You want to know what her problem is? She can't handle how fabulous she was.
If there's ever one night and I want to go out to a ball and someone shows up in an old frumpy blue and pink dress and singing bibbidi bobbidi boo, I'm going to be like, girl, you're not it, okay? I want the Whitney fairy godmother to come and take me to the ball.
She was a tough fairy godmother. She was very snappy.
And the small suggestion under it is, you want to make magic? You got to work.
And then those clothes, gold is regal. Gold feels majestic. It just pops.
There is an element of fantasy that you bring to the costume. What we did was actually continue the themes throughout in the design of the fabric, in the design of the appliques. Here it is on Bernadette's coat. It's on Brandy's spirals. When you sign on to do a princess show, there are rules. Many, many moons ago, they drew Cinderella in a blue dress.
Oh, it's a beautiful dress.
Those rules have to be adhered to. Cinderella will always have a blue dress.
We wanted the costumes to, like, just transport you immediately to something gorgeous and special and romantic.
My clothes were so divine that I wish I could wear them now.
Hats that were kind of asymmetrical, and the colors were the royal purple and kind of like maroons and sculpted skirts.
Bernadette Peters is one of the sweetest, dearest, kindest people in the world, and the wardrobe gave her an additional edge to the character that she was creating.
Well, she's nasty to her daughter.
Tell me, Cinderella.
A scene plays.
What would you say to capture the prince?
Cinderella shrugs.
I don't know. Of course you don't.
I thought, well, this is an interesting character to play. You know, to me, it was just fun to be able to play somebody mean like that.
Don't cling to the past, Cinderella.
The stepmother makes a face.
It's not very attractive.
It is a risky character in this production because it is a white person mistreating a young black woman.
So we wanted someone who, when it was time to be evil, could truly be evil, but could also make you love her.
I've always been told I've got too big a heart.
You've got too big a heart, Mother.
If I had to watch one scene from that movie over and over and over again, it would probably be Falling in Love with Love.
A scene plays.
Falling in love with love is falling for make-believe. Falling in love with love is playing the fool.
She's just being so snarky with even just like the perfume that she's squirting, and then she looks at Cinderella and gives herself two squirts because Cinderella's not even worth the perfume spray.
And that's when she's on the way to the ball. And she's got her daughters, and she's all dressed up, and she's all glamorous, and she has a feather boa, and she feels like her daughters are gonna win the prince.
I fell in love with love, with love everlasting. What love fell out with me.
She didn't have a lot of soul.
Bernadette grins.
Didn't have a lot of soul.
The little girls dance in their dresses.
I think the princess would like to sing.
They wear sparkly dresses.
They like to go to balls. I think they wear ball dress every day.
She doesn't have to dress up in a gown. Like, she could wear whatever she wants. Like, she's a boss.
And some have, like, accessories on their head, but some of them don't.
I am already a princess. That's what I'm gonna say. Any girl in the world could be a princess.
Cinderella can be whoever you want her to be because it's a fairy tale and that's the beauty.
That's a really great lesson. It's a really great lesson for kids of all ages. You know, the sweetest sounds I'll ever hear are still inside my head. The kindest words I'll ever know are waiting to be said.
And the dearest love in all the world is waiting somewhere for me.
Somewhere for me.
Let's see.
Brandy reads the script.
His Royal Highness, Christopher Rupert, Windermere Vladimir, Carl Alexander.
She gestures.
Help me here.
Christopher Rupert, Windermere Vladimir, Carl Alexander, Francois Reginald, Lancelot Herman, Herman, he'll thank us for it later, Gregory James.
Lancelot was an interesting inclusion in his name. I thought that was awfully merry.
Is more? Okay, I'm like, y'all, that was too many names. I'm gonna just call him Chris. PC, Prince Chris.
Neil Marone, executive producer.
It was really challenging to cast the role of the prince.
We saw everybody and anybody who was wildly in the right age range, including Wayne Brady, Taye Diggs, Mark Anthony, Antonio Sabato Jr. It was like Cinderella in the slipper, kind of in reverse, you know, looking to cast this prince. And it's hard to cast those roles because the prince needed to have a purity and almost an innocence about him as well to really sell the fairy tale of it all.
And then the very last day of our casting in New York, The very last person to walk into the room that day was Paolo Montalban.
I wasn't nervous about it because I didn't actually know what the scope of this production was going to be.
I thought it was going to be a made-for-public access cable production.
Paolo was an understudy in the production of The King and I that was running on Broadway.
He was late because he was in a show, it had been in rehearsals, and he opened his mouth and he sings like an angel. And we were like, oh my God, how interesting to have a Filipino prince with our African-American Brandy.
He was this tall, incredibly good-looking guy, but a little stiff. And we went, how is this really going to work with Brandy? And so we put them together and saw in the rehearsal room that the chemistry was magic.
Are you the sweet invention of a lover's dream?
Oh, Paolo. He's just so sweet, so genuine, and so talented.
When I did the reading with Brandy on Monday, everything was so easy. So it wasn't that stressful, I guess. I guess I didn't know any better, right?
He was the one that I was intimidated by. Because it's like, he's this big voice, this handsome, this tall, just, but a sweetheart. And I just wanted to just match his energy. I wanted to sing as well as he was singing in all the songs. It was a magic there between the two of us.
Vianne Cox.
Paolo had this deep honesty, and I think that quality filled up the prince. He was the prince, but he wanted things that weren't just given to him as the prince. He wanted love.
This is a couple that you root for. This is a couple that you want to see together.
He was just so incredibly charming, and I don't think that I had ever seen someone Filipino be the love interest in anything that I had ever watched, and I was just on board.
I had a wonderful time today, Lionel. No one treated me like a prince. What a relief to be among real people.
Yes, can I tell you something? Real people are not all they are cracked up to be, eh?
When they first asked me if I would be involved with Cinderella, my first reaction was, what role?
A scene shows Jason being carried in a pot.
So the first person to sign on was Jason Alexander. That was the crack that we needed.
So people who only know me sort of from my overnight success of George Costanza when I was 25 years into my career don't know that most of the time prior to that I spent on the Broadway stage. I had been studying dance since I was 13 or 14. I'd been studying voice since I was 12. Initially, I just thought, what do they want me to play? I know I'm not Cinderella, I'm not the prince, what's left? So it was a mystery. And they said something about the prince's valet. And I went, I don't think the prince has a valet. And if he does, I thought they meant the town crier who's sort of saying, the prince is having a ball.
The prince is giving a ball, the prince is giving a ball.
It wasn't until the script showed up and I started seeing this huge preparation number through the town that I went, where did this come from? And, oh, this guy Lionel seems to show up in a lot of places. This is a very interesting role.
Jason Alexander was so much fun. He was one that kept introducing the prince with all those names.
His Royal Highness Christopher Rupert, son of Her Majesty Queen Constantina, Charlotte Ermentrude, Guinevere Maisie.
Maisie?
I remember very little of the song. I remember the prince is having a ball, his royal majesty. And now we're in Nameland, and I can never get through that. But I certainly don't remember any of the thingabolt. We have to have a thing, we have to have a thing, and a pastrami and a bedsheet. I have no idea what all that stuff was.
Chocolate and cheddar and Charlotte and Maisie, son of his caviar, king Maximilian, Godfrey Lovis, Holly of Sydney.
Sydney!
Sydney!
Lionel sings with the townspeople.
Is it giving up?
At the very end, there's this iconic moment where they zoom out and you see people who are doing the fabric, the people who are dancing with the meat racks, and it just goes so well together.
The prince is giving a ball.
Hey.
On set, dancers are filmed in the marketplace. Calliope sees Minerva try on a pink hat.
What do you think, Mother?
The stepmother makes a face.
It's certainly not the sort of thing you see every day.
I saw it first. How do you think it looks on me, Mother?
Robert Iskov.
Doing Cinderella was one of those projects where every day was a delight to come to work. It was all I could do half the time to stop myself laughing out loud and ruin a take.
Oh my gosh, Calliope and Minerva were just like insane. I mean, the comedic timing, it was like peanut butter and jelly. They just went together so well.
Both Natalie and Vianne, pretty funny. Pretty, pretty funny.
As Vianne playing Calliope, I am a goofball. And I got very excited about the possibility of bringing my goofball to Calliope.
I've been working on my naturally infectious laughter.
Excuse me?
The script was written, I'm gonna laugh infectiously at all the prince's jokes.
Tonight, I'm going to laugh infectiously at all the prince's jokes.
I can try and do the laugh. Let's see.
Vianne purses her lips.
I'm not warmed up.
She shakes her arms, then smiles. Vianne bats her eyes.
Close.
Calliope rears her head back.
I beg you, Calliope, whatever you do, try not to snort.
Vianne and Natalie were hysterical in their number. Why would a fellow want a girl like her, a frail and fluffy beauty?
Why would a fellow want a girl like her, a frail and fluffy beauty? Why can't a fellow ever once prefer a solid girl like me? She's a frothy little bubble with a flimsy kind of charm, and with very little trouble, I could break her little arm.
Even though they were supposed to dislike me, it didn't play that way for me because they were so funny and fun.
Calliope and Minerva fall into a fountain with swan statues. Words appear. The production budget was $12 million.
I mean, this ended up being the most expensive two-hour television movie ever made up until that time.
On set.
When we were creating the world of Cinderella, you wanted to make it real in one sense, but you also wanted to have that sense of wonder that you had at a five-year-old when you first heard the story of Cinderella.
In a ballet studio.
Five, six, seven, and...
The dancing, I got the ballroom dance, learning something new. That was fun, to learn how to really like...
Brandy gestures.
Hold my neck the right way and, you know, my shoulders down.
A rotating film camera on a boom captures Brandy and Paolo ballroom dancing on set.
And once you get it, you feel like you're flying when the music is going and you're in the moment.
They twirl in circles as they waltz. Bernadette.
I just thought they were just a beautiful couple. They were both so innocent and so loving and so sweet.
When Brandy, as Cinderella, appeared at the top of the staircase, she literally looked like an angel walking in. I look up and...
The prince sees Cinderella.
First, I can't breathe because she takes my breath away. But then, you look closely, I'm breathing as if I'd come home.
Cinderella smiles.
I remember being very nervous walking to the front of the stairs. It was just the first time.
The prince approaches.
I felt like I was Cinderella.
She was the belle of the ball. She walks in and the room stops. The most beautiful girl in the world has come in.
I really did feel like a princess. I knew that this was so great for the world to see, especially Black people, is that she had braids in her hair. She represented a culture that is beautiful, and I just so appreciated that because that was so much a part of what I wanted to bring to Cinderella.
10 minutes ago, I met you, and we murmured a how do you do's.
He puts them in the middle of all the dancers, and he has them do a very simple waltz.
I have found her.
I have found him.
Men and women dressed in blue spin around the ballroom.
And so in this particular song, 10 minutes ago, they're literally talking about love at first sight 10 minutes ago.
The arms of my love, I'm flying over mountain and meadow and land.
And he just keeps moving the camera around them. So the background is swirling, the prince and Cinderella are swirling, and the camera is swirling in the midst of it all.
I may never come down again.
I think it was one of the most audacious bits of filming that I'd ever seen. I want to be in that circle with the two of them. I want to feel the intimacy. I want to see every look on their face. And whenever a piece of film can put the audience in the room the way they experience that on stage, that to me is transcendent storytelling.
The men lift the women up in their flowing ball gowns, then continue dancing. Inside the castle.
Mother, listen to me. You've got to call this ball off immediately.
Not possible. It's difficult to cancel once you got the ball rolling.
We sat around talking about who should we get for the queen. And the top of our wish list was, well, wouldn't it be great if Whoopi Goldberg decided to do it?
I was the queen. I was the mother of the prince.
Max, what's he saying?
He's saying he doesn't want to have another ball.
No, he's not.
I'm Victor Garber, and I played King Maximilian, I think is my name. Was that my name? More importantly, I was married to Whoopi Goldberg, so really, that's all you need to know. She was my queen. She still is my queen.
Whoopi Goldberg and Victor Garber, an interracial couple. The world needed to see that, and they were wonderful.
And who are you playing?
What?
Who are you playing now?
Me. I wanted her to be me in a dress.
Whoopi grins.
You know, a little silly, a little fun. And I gave her a distinction. She doesn't finish sentences, she makes sounds. No, he's not.
The queen gestures at Christopher, then grins. Her brow furrows. She grimaces.
Here we go.
Todrick mimics the queen. Deborah Martin Chase and Paolo do their impressions.
I can't even do it.
She really was kind of the soul, in many ways, of the production. Oh, and the jewels. She was like, well, if I'm going to be a queen, I need real jewels.
I love Harry Winston. I said, listen, I'm playing this queen, and I would like to have some jewels. Will you guys loan us some jewels? They said, we'll pick out our most royal jewels. And so that's what they did.
There were armed guards just beside the camera, so that if anybody approached or Whoopi made a mistake and tried to leave the set with that jewelry on, someone would have been shot.
The Harry Winston diamonds is one of the things Whoopi Goldberg said that's what you asked for on your next project. Management, let's put the Harry Winston in there. Let's go. It ain't too late.
A scene plays.
Christopher, darling, where have you been? Your father and I were just talking about you.
Your mother was talking. I was listening.
The king and the queen were just like any other married couple, wanting the best for their son, wanting him to be happy.
Well, I'm trying to get him married and get him out of the castle. It's like, go marry somebody, please. You know, your father and I have raised you. You're smart. You're going to be taking over the family business. Get out.
Cinderella waltzes with Christopher.
Well, you know, Cinderella goes to the ball. You know, it's love at first sight with the prince. You know, the clock strikes midnight.
Cinderella's eyes widen.
I can't stay.
What do you mean?
I have to go.
She runs before she disintegrates and leaves one of her glass slippers.
Christopher picks up the glass slipper.
And then the prince searches the village for who fits the shoe. And he comes to find that Cinderella fits the shoe and they live happily ever after.
Very uncomfortable glass slippers. Always.
Those were not my feet because I wear a size 9. And a 9 on television looks like maybe a 12.
Brandy nods.
That's a secret.
Todrick Hall, singer and dancer.
And that is literally the story of Cinderella. She is faced with so much adversity, but she still looks at her glass slipper as half full.
Now there's nothing you won't try.
There's music in you, Her finale song was not part of the original Rodgers and Hammerstein score, but we knew that we needed just a sensational song that used all of her vocal qualities and could really, you know, end the movie with a huge bang. That's one of my favorite Whitney songs ever.
And love is the song you will sing your whole life through.
It was so beautiful and floating, and it's very empowering, inspiring, and that's Whitney.
Power is in you, and it really is for all of us. It takes our decision, our free will, to push forward in any circumstance we're in.
Whitney knew how this was going to influence a generation, and she was right.
There is music in you.
I think I've always wanted to be Cinderella.
A storybook opens, revealing a black Cinderella.
The music itself was written some 40-some years ago, and yet we're singing it today, and it sounds very fresh and very new. I'm enjoying that. I'm enjoying Rodgers and Hammerstein music brought back to life.
And why not? Why shouldn't it reflect the world? Fairy tales should reflect the world.
We wanted Cinderella to be a modern fairy tale princess, but be about something. And be confident.
My name is Jade Jones. I was Belle in Beauty and the Beast. Seeing Brandy in Cinderella, it was like, wow, like, that could be me.
Attire is fancy, my vocal sweet like candy. I'm practicing like Brandy. I represent my city. I'm the greatest love like Whitney. Impossible, impossible.
Magic has no gender. If you can dream it, you can be it.
I think it just opened people's eyes to, why not? Why can't the world be however we want to see it?
I think I've always wanted to be Cinderella. I even made a video on my YouTube channel called Cinderfella, where I basically reenacted this whole fantasy.
And because this afternoon your adults keep building up impossible hopes, impossible things are happening every day.
And we were able to put a little bit of the R&B, you know, vibe in, mix it with the Broadway vibe, and it was really nice.
I think it's so cool because it keeps it fresh and relevant.
10 minutes ago, I met you, and we murmured our how do you do's.
It certainly was a fun project, but at the end of the day, I still think the classic Rodgers and Hammerstein version is the way to go.
And I like it so well, and for all I can tell, I may never
It's incredibly moving that after all these years, not only has it stood the test of time, but it kind of has become some sort of symbol for a better world.
People always say, oh, Cinderella, that changed my life, or, oh, that was one of my favorite things I've ever seen.
It just goes to show you how many kids, how many little girls saw that movie.
Cinderella is saying, no matter where you start, no matter what happened, no matter what tragedies you've had in your life, if you believe in the magic in yourself, you can effect a change for yourself. It's within your grasp.
It is a Cinderella that invites young girls to think about themselves in a more empowered way.
People were so inspired because it changed people's lives. It changed.
Brandy holds up her hands.
The way black little girls believed in themselves. I hear to this day, I believe I can be a princess now. That movie is the reason why it's possible.
She shrugs.
I know it. Like, it's timeless.
I think we're all Cinderella fans. I think when we look back and remember, I mean, who didn't want to be Cinderella?
Cinderella could be anybody. Cinderella is everybody. There's no boundaries because Cinderella is about a journey into possibility.
Fireworks go off as Cinderella's carriage departs from the castle. Audio description provided by Roundabout Entertainment, funded by Disney Plus Originals, voiced by Dalila Ali Raja.